Let us pray. Almighty merciful God, God, we come this morning and we are truly asking you to order our steps in this world. Lead and guide us, God, to the path that you would have us to go. For it's in your Son Jesus Christ's name we offer up this prayer. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen. Our scripture reading today is found in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew the 3rd chapter, beginning at the 13th verse. It should be in the back of your program. However, I'm going to read the NIV translation of our scripture for today. And before I read, our sermon topic is A New Life with God's Son, Jesus Christ. Hear the words of God. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John considered. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. The word of God for the people of God. We are coming out of a season of remembering and celebrating the birth and life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. At his birth, the Old Testament scriptures were fulfilled. Remember the angel said to Joseph, when he appeared to Joseph in the New Testament, the angel spoke these words to Joseph. He said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus, because he will save his people. He will save his people from their sins. Today, I would like to move forward just a little bit from the birth to the beginning of Jesus' early ministry. And it began with his baptism. If you think the birth announcement by the angel of God was profound, the declaration at his baptism was incredible. At the baptism of Jesus, not an angel, not a prophet, but God himself, the creator of all things, speaks at the baptism of his son. God shows up and declares from heaven. He says these short words. He said, This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. And at that moment, God affirms that Jesus is Lord and will serve as a mediator between God and his people. I like to think of it as a renewal for God's people made possible through Jesus Christ. A new covenant was made between God and God's people. In the Old Testament readings, God's message to his people were oftentimes revealed through prophets or angels, and sometimes the religious leaders would refer to scripture. But today, as we look at the book of Matthew, we find two texts. In Matthew, one is found in chapter 3:17, the other one in chapter 17, verse 5. So we find these two scriptures in which God actually speaks. What's really interesting is that on both occasions, God says almost the same thing, that Jesus is his beloved son and that he is pleased with him. I'm reminded of another occasion when God showed up at his beloved son's crucifixion. But at that event, God chose not to speak. Oh, but the message was profound. Scripture says that after Jesus was crucified that morning, after the death, after the crucifixion, that darkness fell over all of the land from the sixth hour to the ninth hour. God is a God of few words. But when God shows up, he gets the attention of believers and non-believers. I'm sure if you think about your experience with God, you knew when God showed up in your life. It may have been by a message from someone else, or it could have been a quiet moment, but you knew that God had showed up. Through Jesus, a new covenant was established for God's people. We know that the new covenant brought an end to the old covenant, the old agreement that God had with his people. For example, when they wanted to atone for their sins, they would have a ritual, and a lamb or some other animal would be offered up as the atonement for them. But what Jesus produced a new covenant because of his crucifixion. We are under a new agreement with God. It entails mercy and grace. In other words, no more offering up of a lamb. As I think about as many people in the world today, and if we had to offer up a lamb, I don't know where we would get them from for every sin that we commit, everything that we go against God's will. So, what is the new covenant? What is that? Reverend James, I'm glad you asked. The new covenant is an agreement between God and human beings. Jesus, the focal point of this new covenant is Jesus Christ. Jesus served as the atonement for our sin. Jesus was the sacrificial offering for God's people. And because of God's Son, we have been forgiven. We have been forgiven because of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Our works cannot add anything to it. There is a misnomer sometimes in our world where people think because they are good people that they are automatically in the family of God. But Scripture does not uphold that belief. A belief in Jesus Christ comes before works. So your works can't save you. It's a belief in Jesus Christ. It comes before our works. And sanctification comes by our works. Once we accept Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes and begins to sanctify us. In other words, first, we have to accept the core of the agreement, the new covenant, God's Son. I love when people ask me, what must I do to become part of God's family? And I love to tell them, let's turn to Romans, the 10th chapter, the 9th verse. And this is what it says. It says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the grave, you will be saved. That's the beginning. That's how we are adopted It's more than saying I believe it. It's more. It's in our heart. We believe it in our heart. Jesus has already signed the agreement, the covenant. He has already signed it with his blood at the crucifixion. And we sign the agreement when we accept his son, Jesus Christ. This is the new and final covenant of God. We respond to Christ with either a yes or a no. Before I got to really know the nature of God, I used to say, God, if you're a God, why don't you just make everybody do the right thing? You're God. You can do that. And then it finally clicked. If that was the case, we would all be puppets. God loves us so much that he gives us free will. We can either accept Jesus Christ, accept God, or not to accept. It's our call. We know that Jesus is God's son for those who believe. But what are the attributes of Jesus? Why is Jesus God's son? I'm glad you asked. Jesus is the Word of God and the Son of God, made human for us. He is the messenger of God, the mind of God, again, made flesh for us to see and know and love God and each other. While on earth, Jesus' human traits are God's spiritual traits. Because of Jesus' unconditional love for us, and because we believe, we are now adopted into the family of God. And then, as a member of God's family, make no mistake, we are not perfect. Raise your hand if everybody in your family, over 200 members, are perfect. Raise your hand. If one person in your family is perfect, raise your hand. If you're perfect, raise your hand. There are no perfect people. God does not expect us to come perfect. That's why we have grace and mercy. And once we accept Jesus Christ in our hearts of heart, the Holy Spirit began to teach us God's ways. We may stumble and we may fall, but we'll get up. We get up and we ask God to order our steps. As I reflect on my relationship with my earthly father, I recall that he was a man of very few words. And when I broke the house rules, my mother would oftentimes say, your father does not approve of your behavior, which led me to believe that they had had a discussion. She would deliver the message from my father. And if I did not adhere to the messenger, I would later hear from my father. If we do not adhere to the message of Jesus, we will be judged by his father, God. God wants every one of us in his family. That's God's desire. I'm reminded of a story that was written and told by Irma Barmbek. Listen to her words. This is a story that tells of the creation of man in heaven. When the good Lord was creating fathers, he started with a tall frame, according to the story. And a female angel nearby said, what kind of father is that you're making? If you're going to make children so close to the ground, why have you put fathers up so high? She said, he won't be able to shoot marbles without kneeling. He won't be able to tuck a child in bed without bending or even kiss a child without a lot of stooping. Jesus looks at the angel and smiles and says, yes, But if I make him child size, who would children have to look up to? And when God made a father's hands, they were huge. They were large hands. And you know, the angels shook her head at God and said, "Do you know what you're doing?" She said, "Large hands are clumsy." And women, you'll love this. They can't manage diaper pins. Well, we don't use those anymore. But anyway, they don't use diaper pins. Small buttons or rubber bands on ponytails or even remove splinters. God looks at her and smiles and said, "I know, but they're large enough to hold everything a small child would have in his or her pocket at the end of the day. Yet small enough to cup a child's face in his hands." And then God molded long, slim legs and broad shoulders. And the angel nearly had a heart attack. She said, "Do you realize you just made a father without a lap? How is he going to put a child close to him without the kid falling between his legs?" God smiled at the angel and said, "A mother needs a lap. A father needs strong shoulders to pull the sled, to balance a boy on a bicycle, a boy or a girl on a bicycle, and to hold a sleepy head on the way home from a Dallas Cowboys football game." God was in the middle of creating two of the largest feet anyone had ever seen in heaven. When the angel, she could not contain herself any longer, she said, "That's not fair. Do you honestly think those large feet, the large boats, are going to dig out of bed early in the morning when the baby cries? Or walk through a small birthday party with little children without crushing at least three of their guests?" And God smiled and said, he said, "They'll work. You'll see. They support a small child who wants to ride on a bicycle or teach a child how to kick a football over the goalpost. And who knows, he may grow up and be the kicker for the Dallas Cowboys." God worked throughout the night, giving the fathers few words, but a firm voice. He gave them eyes that saw everything, but remained calm and tolerant. Finally, almost as an afterthought, he added tears for the father. Then he turns to the angel and say, "Now, are you satisfied that he can love as much as a mother?" Then the angel shutteth up. It may not be proper English. She had no more to say. She shutteth up. I believe that out of God's wisdom, God's plan included a special role for earthly mothers and fathers, men and women. And out of his wisdom, God also had a divine plan for his son, Jesus Christ. That plan included a new life, a new beginning for us, for human beings. God's son has the same nature as his father. He is eternal and divine. He possesses a nature of forgiveness, unconditional love, grace, and peace. When Jesus came up out of the water on that day, heaven opened up and the Spirit of God came descending like a dove. The dove symbolizes power, but in gentleness, God was telling the world, My son is meek and loving. I sent him not to condemn you, but to save you. He will not shame you, but he will love you. He will not call out your shortcomings, but will teach you my ways. He will not turn his back on you, but he will give you unconditional love. If you accept my son, you will experience a new life. You will have an anchor to pull you out, to pull you up when life's challenges become more than you can handle. My son, God is saying, my son will never leave you or forsake you. My son is the last sacrifice that I need to bring about a new covenant for my people. By accepting Jesus Christ as Lord of our lives, it puts God's divine plan into action for each one of us. When we accept Jesus Christ, things begin to turn around. We experience that peace that Jesus promised his apostles, all of his disciples. He said, I will leave you, but I'm going to leave with you my peace. In other words, that peace that surpasses all human understanding. Even in our difficulties, we have that inner peace, knowing that God will eventually work it out. Wait. There is more good news. Jesus said, my Father and I are one. We are here for you. When you pray, pray in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Remember when Jesus was getting ready to go back home, he says to his disciples, I'm going to leave, and I'm paraphrasing, but I will leave a comforter, a teacher with you, the Holy Spirit. Jesus is saying to us this morning, when challenges become too much for you to handle, look away, look way, 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 way up to the Father. And remember the words in Psalms 121, which says, I will lift up my eyes to the mountain. From where shall my help come? I tell you, our help comes from the Lord. What did Jesus do when Lazarus, when his friend died and they sent for Jesus and Jesus began to cry? He was sad that his friend Lazarus had died. And when he got to the tomb, the first thing he did, he began to look up and pray. Here is Jesus, the Son of God, looking up, and he began to pray. And John 11:41 says that, so they removed the stone. God allowed them to remove the stone. And Jesus, after the stone was removed and Lazarus came out of the grave, he says to him, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. How often do we ask God to intervene in our lives, to do something for us, but we forget to look up to the Father and say what? Thank you. Jesus said, thank you. Thank you. Here is the Son of God. Here is the Son of God on this occasion, looking up, thanking God. When the stones in our lives are moved, we too should look up and say thank you. And yes, God's hands, like in the story, God's hands are big enough to stroke our wounds. Listen to what Jesus says about his hand and his Father's hands. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Then this is what he says about his Father. He says, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them but out of my Father's hand. No one. Because we believe, because we're in the family of God. No one. No one can snatch us out of there. We can have family members. Oh, they can do some things that that may not be pleasing to us. But because of the blood, oftentimes we will do what? Rescue. Because of the blood. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We have a right and good relationship with God. Now, listen to what God says to the people of Israel. You remember the story of the potter's house? When the potter, when the clay would make a misstep, the potter would do what? Take it. He didn't take it and throw it in the trash or throw it out the door. He would take it and reshape it and remold it until it became what it should be. So, what does God say about his hands and the potter's house? Listen to the words of God in Jeremiah. He says, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter has done, declares the Lord? Behold, like the day in the potter's hands, so are you in my hand, O Israel. When we are broken, God can mold and reshape us into what he intended for us to be with his huge hands. Remember when we were little? We would oftentimes fall and skin our knees and we would run and sit on our mother's lap. My mom is no longer here with me. But before she died, I was not able to sit on her lap because I had gained a few pounds. But God says, put your head. He says, Teresa, put your head on my shoulder. And it's okay to shed tears. Because I am that I am. And that there are no barriers that can separate you from me and my son. And yes, God is saying, yes, my feet are large enough to carry you when you fall. I'm reminded of this short writing. It says, one night I dreamed I was walking along the beach with the Lord. Many scenes from my life flashed across the sky. In each scene, I noticed footprints in the sand. Sometimes there were two sets of footprints. Other times there was only one. This bothered me because I noticed that during the low periods in my life, when I was suffering from anguish, sorrow, or defeat, I could see only one set of footprints. So I said to the Lord, Lord, you promised me that if I follow you, you would walk with me always. But I have noticed that during the most difficult periods of my life, there has only been one set of footprints in the sand. Why, when I needed you the most, you have not been there for me. Then God shows up. And saith these few words. God shows up. And says these few words. He says, The years when you have seen only one set of footprints, my child, is when I carried you. I encourage you to accept with your whole heart and soul a new life. Because we all have a new life with God's Son, Jesus Christ. May you be blessed. Thank you.